Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. Just a reminder that we do monitor the Facebook comments. In fact, just to let you know, we are capturing those Facebook comments, and those get fed out on our video stream. So everybody can see the comments. That's the intent. So be aware of that. Everybody will see them. And but please do comment. It's good to know folks are out there. We want to see your questions. And this is Theron. I will step in if necessary with the guys and let them know that we got some comments. But this is really Andrew and Louis' show. Guys, I'm going to hand it over to you. It's your show. Andrew?
Good evening and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Hope you're having a great Saturday evening. And I have fellow brother in Christ with me, Louis Taylor. We are both members of Taylorsville Road Church of Christ. Good evening, Louis. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Good evening.
Well, I'm glad if you are joining us. We were really in an extraordinary times right now, and there are a lot of people that are not able to worship with the brethren right now. Mm-hmm. And so we are doing things such as this, having Bible studies on the internet. And I'm glad that there are tools such as these so we can reach out to people and talk about the Bible. Satan has his workers right now in full force, and we need to do all that we can to spread the gospel and talk about God and the gospel. And so that's what the reason why we're on here is to open up God's word and have it speak. And so what we're going to be doing in this program this evening is look at what Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, and that will be our springboard. That will be our main passage of Scripture that we are going to be looking at and talking about the main themes of that particular passage. And Louis, if you have that, you want to go ahead and read Philippians 4, 4 through 7?
Sure. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren," we'll stop there. It's verse 7. Apologize.
No, it's okay. I don't. Not everybody probably knows this, but interestingly enough, the Apostle Paul wrote this in prison. And a lot of people might right now feel as if they are prisoned in their own home, and that they can't do anything. And we hope that maybe by talking about this particular passage and other passages and what we discussed during this particular episode, that the scripture can bring a lot of hope and strength to us, especially during this very time that we're dealing with in our lives. And so any initial thoughts that you want to add, Louis?
Well, you know, obviously we're wanting to spread the word and to speak the truth above all else, but we want to encourage people today. I think that's our goal, is to lift people up and let them know that God's still in control. Hopefully the world's not coming to an end. You never know when the Lord will decide that time has arrived.
But, yeah, true.
You know, we have lives to live. We have children to influence. We have... you know, we have to put on our best face, and not just our best face, but believe that the Lord will take care of us and carry through the most difficult of times. As you said, Paul was in prison when this happened. So when he wrote this, so he, you know, if ever a man had a reason to be anxious and downhearted, it was Paul. But he gives us a strong message of encouragement here.
Absolutely. I thought that during this program, Our congregation comes up with a yearly theme. And our yearly theme this year is called Building Upon the Rock. And the verse attached to that is 2 Samuel 22, verse 47. Do you want to read that, Louis?
Sure. 2 Samuel 2:47 says, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation."
I know that for me that it's so vital to have something that is steady and to know that the scripture tells us that God is steady, that he is strong, that he is that fortress, that rock that we need in our lives. And another thing that I thought of, and I really love this hymn when kind of thinking about this particular program, was in our hymnals, there is a song called The Solid Rock. And I just really love the first verse, and I was just going to read it and the chorus. I won't sing, so I'll bear you that pain and suffering. I don't want to lose whatever viewers.
Me too. Me too. You don't hear me sing.
But the first verse says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Now, I really love the chorus as well. It goes, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And I think that is just such a hopeful and helpful message to hold on to, especially during these trying times. Any thoughts that you want to add, Louis?
Well, quite a few thoughts, but I think more importantly, a scripture, Psalm 62, one of my favorite passages in the Bible that I've gone to quite often. And it says, starting in verse 1, "My soul waits in silence for God alone, not anxious," but that idea of silence, being calm and peace. "For him, from him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken." So this is a Psalm of David. And, you know, David was one of those fellows who had his own fair share of anxiety and turmoil in his life, but he clung to his rock. He knew where his fortress was, where his safe haven was, and who his salvation came from. So I think that's an excellent scripture to add to what you had stated, to your statements.
Yeah, I think that we will touch upon more individuals in the scripture, because people may not realize that the Bible is filled with people that were, of course, flawed, but they dealt with so many fears and anxieties, and some that we may not even begin to even fathom exactly what they went through. But we can touch upon that throughout our program here. But I thought I would ask you this question. We see all the people right now having different responses to the various situations that are going on in the world right now. It's no surprise. And I consider you, Louis, to be a very rational, sensible, and I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal. Hopefully that's not what I'm trying to put you on, but I do think that you are.
I'll put him on a pedestal for you. I love Louis. Lots of people love Louis. I think Kim Wade would agree. Kim loves Louis as well.
But I think you were a very logical person. But how do you think people are responding right now? What is your impression?
Well, what I'm seeing outside of my own circle you know, in my own circle, I'm not seeing a lot of this, but outside of that, I'm seeing panic, quite honestly, anxiety, fearfulness. You see it with the hoarding, the irrational move to buy all the paper products on the planet and stockpile those. It just, it seems like people have been driven by fear. Yeah. And obviously they've overreacted, and that's not to downplay the seriousness of the situation. Certainly the media foments that. So I think of people who spend a lot of time watching the network news or, you know, that type of thing, even following some social media platforms, which can be used as for good as we're doing now, it accelerates this. It magnifies it and obviously makes it worse.
Well, I think that if ultimately it's good to be informed. I think it is part of what we are to do is to have knowledge of what's going on in the world, to be able to give an adequate response to somebody's fears and acknowledge them, but ultimately to put our trust in, of course, God's word and look that first above everything else to how we live our lives and to how we encounter each and every situation, to look and see how God would have us respond. Don't you think that that's a good way to potentially how we should view our lives and how we should go about our daily lives?
Well, I think you touched on just the perfect thing there. Instead of turning to the talking heads and the media and to, you know, frustrated and fearful neighbors or, you know, friends on media, we should be living in the word. We should be turning to God's word. We should be spending a lot of time there because that's where we're going to find the answers to our problems. That's where we're going to find the peace and the calm through the storm. We're not going to get that for people who are trying to stoke the flames, right? And the media wants nothing more than what sells is, you know, the fantastic and that was those things with shock value. And that catches people's attention. But we need to turn our eyes, our thoughts, our minds and hearts to the inspired word of God, because he wants what's best for us. The people in the media, that they're driven by the bottom line, the dollar, and God is his word is given to us. His only motivation is because he loves us so much.
Well, I do want to turn to Louis, if you want to turn to because I want to read a passage of scripture in Matthew 6. But before I read a passage in Matthew 6, it'd be from the Sermon on the Mount. Just some of those words that Paul used in our main text.
Sure.
That people would probably think that it is crazy to hear rejoice. Who are you kidding? Have a gentle spirit. Well, that sounds crazy. Not be anxious, have peace. That sounds ridiculous. All those things sounds foreign. Have thanksgiving. What is all that? That doesn't sound like language people would think that is rational language to use nowadays with just everything. I'm sure there are lots of people right now thinking that the world is coming to an end this very moment. And so I'm hoping that reading the various texts that we are and talking about what we're talking about, people will find some, I hope, peace, at least a momentarily calmness, if possible, and that they can look to scripture and realize that peace and the power of that peace is found in the scripture, not in what you and I are necessarily saying, but ultimately is found in the scripture.
Yeah. And, you know, we look at those words. It's important not just to try to take the good feeling away from it, but see what the author is trying to convey to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. So if you're not in the Lord, you don't have that good, strong reason to rejoice. But those who are in the Lord, they will understand this, that, you know, God is everything to us. If we lose everything in the world and we still have God, we have all we need.
Yes.
And no matter how bad it gets on this earth. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I apologize for interrupting. I'm monitoring the comments. We're actually probably getting more comments than I've ever seen. So there's some dialogue going on between between some of the posters. So let me just share some of what I'm seeing. Okay. Teresa Sandusky Morgan says, "I see more kindness and people slowing down and showing an appreciation and love of others." Okay, so there have been people that have stepped up and demonstrated that. Kim Wade, who's watching, says, "The world will come to an end. When you die, the world ends." At least from our perspective, right? Our world on this side of eternity is over at that point. But again, I just wanted to be sure to kind of share some of the comments that are coming in from our listeners. So,
well, that's a great comment for both of those ladies, for Miss Sandusky as well. That's what people who are thinking right, have their minds right, and hopefully in tune with the Lord, they're going to see this as an opportunity to share the message and share the kindness and the love of the Lord with others. And, you know, it's, I think the tendency might be to get a little harried, but for those who are looking for an opportunity to make the best of a situation, to make the best of a situation. So hopefully people will, hopefully a time like this, this present distress, like the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it will cause people to reflect inwardly and really focus on what's really important in life, right? Mm-hmm. It's not money. It's not our position or our education, our power.
Right. It's
family, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, helping people in need.
Yeah, well, agreed.
Well, I think that to kind of segue somewhat into another passage that would be a good passage for us to kind of briefly discuss would be from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Why not go to the best source, our teacher?
Agreed.
And, hey, Louis, if you want to, why don't you read verses 25 to the end? I think that is a good passage of scripture for us to kind of have a brief discussion on.
You broke up a little bit there, Matthew 6, and you want me to read
verses 25 to the end.
Okay. All right. Let me get to the right page. Matthew 6, 5 to the end. "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for the body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
Well, his for his on ends, he knew how to give them the right, or try to steer them in the right direction and give them the right perspective on all things. And I feel as if he's still trying to steer us to have the right perspective each and every day. And I think this is such a great passage for us to keep in the forefront of our minds, especially when we get anxious about anything. What do you think, Louis?
Well, I agree. And I like the way he says the last verse, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. That's typically what we worry about, mm-hmm. things that may or may not happen in the future. Mm-hmm. In this present distress that we're in, I think most people are doing okay right now, but they're fearful of what might happen if things continue the way they're going. Of course, we should try to focus on controlling the things that we can, making preparations, plans, conserving if necessary. But when we worry about those things, then we just make matters worse, possibly bring sickness upon ourselves and mm-hmm. bad decisions. Theron, you were going to say something?
Well, Kim shared something, and I think it's a really great point to make. Kim says, and God gives us each other to get through times like these. And Kim, great point, great point. Agreed, totally. Carry each other's burdens, right?
Yes. Yes, and, Galatians chapter 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And things like this, what we're doing is supposed to be helping the brethren during those times of, especially when we may feel isolated. And I know that that can cause a great deal of fear and anxiety, especially when we're not able to assemble with the saints. And it's not as if we are forsaking the assembly.
Right.
We're trying to
Right.
this out of the wellness and care of our brethren. And it's still very difficult. You want to go and worship. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, again, that by doing these things, we can still provide some strength and comfort, trying to connect with other people by opening up the Bible and encouraging people to watch programs like these, where it's built on solid biblical teaching. So I think that that's another reason why we are doing things, programs such as these. But you hit on something that on that, when you mentioned that last verse, because I was just thinking that a lot of people may not be concerned with, well, do I have, or the first fourth of a thought that comes to mind, do I have enough for today? Do I have, do I have enough food to feed my family for today? Do I have shelter for today? It somehow can, I think, be very difficult for individuals to have that mindset of thinking, okay, at this very moment in time, do I have what I need for today? And I think for us, for believers, we need to have that mindset of what verse 33 says about seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first.
Yep.
And that always needs to be at the forefront of our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we're putting God first, you know, things are going to go better for us when we're walking lockstep with the Lord. Things are going to play out in our favor more than likely. And you know, these things that people worry about, as Jesus said, you know, you can add another minute to your life, another cubit to your stature, whatever. You worry about your food or your clothing, it's not gonna put supper on the table. It's not gonna put a shirt on your back. Worrying about it doesn't help, right? It just makes matters worse. I think I would say this. I just wanna go back to Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment, because it's one thing to tell someone not to worry.
Yeah.
And we should do that. and remind people, you know, the Bible repeatedly says, fear not, don't worry, let not your heart be troubled, because we have such an inclination to have that happen to us in times of stress. But if we go back to Philippians 4, Paul actually gives us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the remedy, the cure for anxiety. Verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. So he's saying, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And that's the remedy for an anxious heart. Instead of going inwardly and having that internal dialogue with yourself about how terrible things may turn out, take it to the Lord. Cast all your cares on him, 1 Peter 5:8, because he cares for you. Cast your anxieties upon him. They're too big and heavy for us to carry. He is more than willing to take them from us, and he's able to carry them.
Yeah, I was getting ready to go to that passage. Theron, you had something?
Yeah, I'm thinking I need to put like a card or something that I can hold up when there's comments. Note to self, I'll try to do that in the future. That way you guys can see. That's a great segue, because one of the comments that Kim made, Kim's on a roll here, she says prayer is the best way to help each other. Now, I will say that, yeah, James makes a point that there's things we can actually do to help one another, right? And we should do those things. But I almost think, I've used this analogy years and years ago. There may be people in your life that you've lost influence or you've lost contact, but you can still pray for them no matter where you are. It's like an ICBM that can find somebody any place on the planet. You can't stop it.
A love-seeking missile.
All right, I gotta love that. Okay, I gotta heart that one. There you go.
I want to add one other thing before we move on from this.
Sure, go ahead. Go for it.
The other half of the equation,
yeah,
for the cure for anxiety is verse 8. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So take your anxieties to the Lord. And then try to focus on the good and lovely and beautiful things, the praiseworthy things, and not on the negative, frightening, those types of things.
Agreed. Yeah.
So it's mindset. Get your mind right. Get focused on the right things. We can lock in, hone in on the things that are going wrong, and that can consume us.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, and then another thing that. That I think is good to keep in the forefront of our mind. Another passage, and we can look at a couple passages that I thought that can help us during these trying times. There's so many countless passages. I was thinking of John 16, verse 33. Of course, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's getting ready to leave this world. He's getting ready to be arrested and put to death. And he, one of his final messages was, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So to know that we do have a Savior, Christ has overcome the world, is such a great thing to keep in the forefront of our mind.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's a couple other passages. Louis, if you want to turn to Proverbs 3, for verses 5 and 6, I think this will be a very familiar passage to a lot of people.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
Very wise man was inspired to write that.
Yes, indeed.
Very wise instruction for us to go ahead, sir.
Well, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. We're commanded to love him with all our hearts and our minds, our strength, our everything that's within us. And, you know, quite often we're just, we're fractured, where we can be double-minded or even divided in, among multiple distractions. And we have to give our attention to so many different things in this world. We need to come back to our center, It's the Lord. It's times like this that we're reminded who our center is, who our rock is. A lot of times we lose sight of that when the economy's just churning out wonderfully, and you know, we're working overtime and we've got all these nice things we're able to buy, and we're taking the kids and family here and there and doing all these nice things, but we lose sight of who matters the most, what matters the most. And it's if we give our thoughts and our hearts to Him, then everything else is going to follow, and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, you made such a good kind of another great segue of another passage that I had pulled up, where the Hebrew writer, I mean, the book of Hebrews is amazing. I should say all the book all the Bible is amazing.
Agreed.
But Hebrews 13, I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? To have that mindset, again, is so foreign probably to many nowadays. But for us as believers, a sense of great comfort.
Yeah. And that, you know, that reminds me, we talked about the passage briefly before the show, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And David, we said King David was a man who was subject to fears and anxieties at times in his life. But even when he was walking through that valley of the shadow of death, he feared no evil, for the Lord was with him. His rod and his staff comforted him. He knew who his shepherd was. He always, you know, even though he strayed at times, and there were times when things weren't going well for him in his life, the prevalent theme, his prevalent mindset in his life was the Lord was his shepherd. He would lead him. He would provide for him. He would protect him. He would take care of him.
Yeah, you mentioned David, and there's multiple examples of individuals that faced and struggled with all types of fears in their lives. Moses, to name another individual that was in the Old Testament, and then of course, even Paul, who we have been focusing in on from our main scripture passage, and who could not mention or forget Peter. That's just a few examples of people that struggled with fear, but ultimately each one of those individuals knew where to go, what source to seek for their fears to be quelled, or to have their strength and to whenever they had those fears come upon them.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, Peter specifically talking amongst ourselves about when Jesus called him to walk out on the water, when they were so frightened, and he took the step out there. Now he was afraid. He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink, but you know, he had the confidence enough in the Lord to take that step. And he knew who to call for when he began to sink. And when we call for the Lord in those times of distress, he is more than willing to be our lifeline, to pull us up. We have to turn to him. He's the one. He's the rock. He's the anchor.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that for us as believers, if we're able to keep a clear focus on Christ, then whatever waves, if things get rocky, we're able to push through it. It's almost as if we are walking on water. We're doing what is, in essence, impossible, because we're able to get through this life when there are trials and tribulations. And it is not our own strength that's getting us through it. We're getting it through it because of Christ strengthening us, which is part of the passage of Philippians 4, that is Philippians 4:13. That is just a good anchor. So that is always a good illustration to always look to Peter, and a great lesson when getting out onto the water.
Yep. He got out of the boat. Nobody else did.
And mentioning verse 13 of Philippians 4, I can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens me. You know, the Apostle Paul had commented previously that, you know, when he was weak, then he was strong. When he was beset by his own personal, probably physical weakness, he knew who his true strength emanated from. He knew the arm of flesh failed him, and it would ultimately fail him, and it will ultimately fail all of us. So when we know who our true power source is, and we have a better perspective in this life, we're able to help others, encourage others. And of course, when this life's over, it only gets much, much better for that type of person who has the Lord as his strength and his rock.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I think that even a couple of verses before verse 13, it's just showing more of Paul's mindset. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Everything that we have talked about, being feeling of strength when we actually are we're really strong when we are weak, I mean, this is something that is contrary to the world.
Paul said it's a secret, right? He said it's a secret. Most people they're not aware of it. They're not interested in it. But the secret is, I can do all things through Christ. Anything's possible with the Lord. Any good thing is possible with the Lord. And that's unfortunately, that secret is being too well kept. And hopefully at a time like this, the message will ring out more forcefully again, and we'll have a better audience, a more ready audience for that message.
Any other comments that have popped up, Theron?
Well, Kim might need to explain her comment. She said, I need help. Now, I don't know what she means. If she means she needs help in her faith, which obviously we all, you know, want to. I see. Okay, so Kim just responded just now. We have a sister that needs to find someone to worship with. It is hurting her to not be able to gather, and she is alone. Okay. Yeah, Kim, we can talk. Yeah. And Charlie, I hope he's still on too. If this sister is somebody local, hopefully we can reach out. Clearly this is a difficult time. Because we're, you know, we're limited in how we can get to each other, and we may get to what they call shelter in place. And that means that you may be essentially forced, other than essential things, to stay home. And so we may have trouble doing even basic things. And so we have to do what we can to reach out to folks. For those of us who are comfortable with technology, we've been using this approach that we have right now, where we can talk to one another. We can see each other, at least in a sense, and be together in a way, but it's not the same thing as being in somebody's physical presence. And while this current crisis, she lives in E-Town, okay. While this current crisis is an opportunity for people to stop and realize, hey, maybe I do need God, and I think I need to think about mortality, right? At the same time, it limits our ability to do the things that we want to do as Christians, go to people's homes and have Bible studies, gather together and worship in God's in Christ's name. It's limiting us as well. So let's do what we can and pray that the lessons that are learned are sink into people's minds, and it renews their desire to seek God, and that those opportunities again are opened up. You know, Christ came at a time called Pax Romana, when there was a time of peace. It was the Roman peace, and what that meant was it was a time where it was actually relatively easy to travel. There was not a lot of war. There were good roads, and the gospel could spread. And let's hope that we return to a time of peace, but maybe a time for longing for God, where maybe we've woken up to, again, our own mortality, and that, you know, we can't just think the stock market's going to grow forever and everything's always going to be wonderful. That our hope is not on this side of eternity, it's on the other. And I apologize, because I think I harped on that with Charlie last week, but it's just, you know, this any time you live in has opportunities and challenges. And we hope the challenges are less and the opportunities are great.
Well, Theron, unfortunately, I think you were cutting in and out.
Oh, was I?
You can still hear me, Louis?
Oh, uh-oh.
I'm still here. Looks like our connection is unstable right now.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if we're getting out. If
okay.
If Theron's not doing well, then we're probably not doing well with our feed.
Actually, I hear you fine. Now, the good news is, let's see. I'm at the source of the feed. So they hear me. That will probably hear me perfectly.
Okay. Well, you're sounding better now.
Okay, yeah.
For a moment there, you were sounding kind of out of there. But
sorry to hear that.
Okay, let me say something to what you just said real quick before you move on. Andrew, Theron, we got to keep in mind this is going to pass.
Oh yeah, agreed.
This is going to pass. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through this, mm-hmm. and I think mm-hmm. people need to be reminded of that. We're going to be okay, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? This won't go on forever, interminably. So mm-hmm. let's hold on to our faith, hold on to each other as best we can. Pick up the phone. That might be your best friend at this time. I talked to a sister today who lives alone, and she was wanting to go to services and she's lonely. And I told her call. And you know, if we want to have small group meetings somewhere, we could even do it outdoors where it's much less likely to be a problem mm-hmm. with the transmission mm-hmm. of anything. So it's mm-hmm. just some options there.
Yeah. I appreciate you all being willing to get on here and do these things. I know that in our scenario of life right now, that this may be for the foreseeable future of things that we are going to be doing. But I'm glad that we are actually really working on focusing on connecting to people mm-hmm. In any way possible to Scripture. I did want to just read one final passage before we kind of wrap things up and kind of steer toward the end here. And that's from 2 Timothy 4, because we've been focusing in on Paul, and he has such the right mindset, even up to the very end. And I'm just going to read verses 6 through 8 of 2 Timothy 4. And it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, mm-hmm. and the time of my departure has come. Mm-hmm. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Mm-hmm. And I just think that up until the very end, he did not waver. He had that eternal hope that is available to everyone. And I hope that people will come across videos such as the program that we did this evening, and they will be interested in an opening up scripture, and that fruit will be born from programs such as these. What final thoughts that you have, Louis?
Well, ultimately, that's the most important thing, right? To make your life right with God, to make sure that your crown is laid up in heaven for you, you know, in the best of times and in the worst of times on this earth, it's all temporary. While it's very encouraging to us that the bad times are going to pass, the good times are going to pass too. Nothing lasts forever on this earth. So to have that crown ready, I'll just, my last contribution of a scripture, John 14 goes right along with you, what you read there in 2 Timothy 4, John 14, 1 and 2, do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus said, believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus tells us, don't let your heart be troubled, no matter what's going on, no matter what kind of troubling thing may happen on this earth. Jesus went back to his Father's house in heaven to prepare a place for us to be with him forever. And everything else, nothing compares to that. Everything else pales in comparison to that. No. Everything is a minor, a light load to bear when you have eternity in mind. If you have your life right with God, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'll end with sort of how we began, and that is with verse 4 of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And I just thank you, Louis, for joining me this evening and opening up scripture and taking a few precious moments, because every moment that we are given on this earth is really a precious moment, and it is a gift from God, and it's to do his will. And I pray that we glorified him by opening up his word and talked about him this evening. And just an open invitation to anyone that may be listening, that might be struggling and may not know the Lord, feel free to reach out to us. We're members of Tales of Road Church of Christ. Theron's a member at Eastland Church of Christ, and I know that we would be more than happy to talk to you about God and open up scripture, and we want more than anything for you to end up in heaven. And so
we want to find us on Facebook, right? We're not assembling right now at those places, but you can find us on Facebook. Contact us.
We want to talk to you about salvation and what that all entails. And if you're struggling right now and you're part of the family of God, we want to be able to pray for you. So let us know how we can be of help to you. Thank you again, Louis, so much for taking these precious moments and joining me and talking about God's word.
Thank you.
Great to have you back on the program, Louis. It's been a while.
Thank you very much. Thanks for putting it together, guys.
You remember the day? You guys remember? Let's see. Andrew, let's see, you never came into, Louis, you came into the original studio. You remember the original studio we were in?
Yep.
Yeah, back in the good old days. Yep.
Special
all right.
Times.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Well, this is the new norm, and that's okay.
That's okay, too. Yeah. Well, and just share something. You could be considered fortuitous or providential, but we, those of us who've been involved in the program, actually had made the decision at the very end of last year that because of the logistics of always trying to get into the studio, that what we would do is we would try to begin doing a remote, because that would allow us to connect with people from all over. And it just so happened that we were getting traction on that right when we got in the situation where we needed it. Lord's providence, I don't know. But just grateful that we were in a position where we're able to reach out, because now people really need to feel connected. And this gives us a way to feel like we're at least there, and certainly praying for them. And Kim, again, thank you so much for checking in with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Calling it a day, folks.
Sir.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all take care. Hope we've done. I like to remember. I try to think of what Scott says. I hope we've done a lot of good and no harm. And let's let the Bible speak.
To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen, brother.